Welcome back to the MSI Pod. We're on episode 4 of season 1. Brandon and I are going to talk about a little bit of the Vikings today. We haven't really touched on them yet, and I think it's time that with OTAs here and just about gone, I figured it's a good time to talk about maybe the rookie minicamp, a little bit of the OTAs, and just stuff going into the offseason, maybe a trade or two with maybe Rudy. Or is there a free agent out there that we can still snag? But Brandon, let's start out with Kyle Rudolph. The Vikings offered him a 5-year extension. I haven't really done a lot of digging on this yet. I was going to do that later today. But to what I can kind of maybe assume is the extension is more of offering him more years and keeping the money the same to restructure his contract, and not an extension to the point where we're offering him our money, because we obviously can't do that right now. We're cap strapped. We need to create more space,
right?
Because we don't want to go on to the off season right now, or go on to the regular season, I should say, with only $500,000 of salary cap space, because if something happens, we're going to need room to sign somebody.
Yeah. Kyle Rudolph, I'm just looking at the standpoint of, you know, hearing the Patriots trade rumors. I don't know how accurate that is, but seeing that Kyle Rudolph could be a really big piece. I know the Patriots and the Saints have tried using the two tight ends kind of formation, and then having two receivers out wide. Why not try that at least with Irv Smith Jr.? I know we're talking about his contract, the offer that was there. It's just, I'm just thinking, like, keep him around if at all, you know, this offer that gave him. I really respect, Rob Brzezinski, who does all the salary cap stuff for the Vikings, and Rick Spielman. It's important that, you know, he got the offer. At least we made an offer and attempt at Rudolph, but you'd hope that he stays with us, because if we lose Rudolph, I'm just worried about, like, can Irv Smith Jr., I understand he came from Alabama, will he miss assignments on crucial third downs, you know, when you're asked to block without your veteran tight end?
Well, I think Irv Smith Jr. coming from Alabama is a really good blocking tight end. He's a multi-dimensional tight end, whereas...
Good point.
I think he could do it all for us. But I think that, going to what you were saying, I think it'd be beneficial for us to keep Rudy around. The only reason I would want to get rid of him is if he doesn't want to sign that extension and not extend his years and money, which I do think he does want to do, because he's talked about it so many times where he loves Minnesota, he wants to stay here for his whole career, this and that. But if we can't get something done, I don't think we can keep him around. Just for what I pointed out before, right now we're at $500,000 in cap space, and that's not a good situation going into the regular season.
Especially if, like, one of your old linemen gets hurt, or a couple of people at the same position get hurt, you don't really got flexibility.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if Rudy was to get shipped out to, say, the Patriots, I think the Vikings are in really good hands with Irv Smith Jr.
Yep.
Just seeing what he did at Alabama. He was my number one tight end going into the draft that I wanted, and we came out with him in the second round.
Hot take.
I told you that before the draft started. We needed Irv Smith.
Yes, you did.
And, like, I think that with those two on board, and having Adam Thielen and having Stephon Diggs and possibly the emergence now of Dylan Mitchell, he looked really good in OTAs. I saw a few clips of him. And there's another rookie, Olabisi Johnson, who flat out, did you see that video on Twitter?
Yeah.
Flat out ran the defender by 20 yards.
Yes.
And caught the ball in the end zone as a touchdown.
Yes.
But he is a speedster.
See, and the 40 time didn't, like, he already had a good 40 time and all that, but, like, quickly to add on to that, it's like, sometimes players don't play at the same kind of game speed with pads on. And I think he does, but keep going.
Or for Olabisi, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a flat out speedster, just watching some videos of him outrunning all of our DBs. And I kind of wanted to talk about, going back to Diggs, he missed the first 2 days of OTAs. Mm. I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on that. But I saw today he was back. He was in pads. He was ready to go, full bore.
Well, that is news to me.
He was with the guys.
That's news to me, what you just told me about he was back today. That's good. If that's the case, which it is the case, we're finding out right now. That's what Brent's saying. That's what we're seeing. That's what was reported. There's not, I guess, not a ton to talk about with the Stephon Diggs thing. How many top receivers in the league missed the first 2 days, or even the whole thing almost.
And it's not like OTAs are mandatory, mandatory minicamp that's coming up in a few months. Yes. But OTAs are voluntary. They are open to miss.
Yeah.
And if Diggs misses with the contract he's under, I think we're fine since he missed those first 2 days. And I don't think that if you would have missed all of OTAs, I wouldn't sit here and wonder, oh, is he going to be in shape coming into minicamp? No, yeah. Diggs is going to be in shape. He's going to be ready to go.
He's got good work ethic.
He's going to be part of one of the top, in my eyes, three receiving cores in the league.
Oh.
With him and Thielen, and now Thielen got that extension to make him happy, and we're going to be set to go with those two for a long time.
I agree. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, and you'd hope Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr., Dalvin Cook, the new running back, Alexander Mattison, sprinkled in a little bit behind him. That's not a bad lineup, Hopefully the O-line stays up.
Plus Dylan Mitchell.
Yes, Dylan Mitchell. If someone goes down, Laquan Treadwell is still a part of the team, right? We just declined his fifth year. But
we declined his fifth year.
We still have him the fourth year, so that's this year.
I did see a clip of Laquan Treadwell today. Somebody put it on.
Yeah.
It says Laquan Treadwell looking good at OTAs.
Whatever.
And here's the video of him jogging at 50% and catching a ball when a DB is not even there.
I guess the
so that's our upside for Laquan Treadwell. I guess we're happy, right?
I guess having extended arms at the point of catching is really impressive. I don't understand that either.
But there is one guy that you mentioned to me earlier today when we were talking off air. You like one of our smaller guys, one of our Wes Welker type.
Yes.
In the slot, he's going to catch everything on third down, and he's going to get you 5 yards if we need it.
Chad Beebe. What a story Chad Beebe is. Is he going to be the next Adam Thielen? I don't know. But he's a different kind of player. I think that's fair to say. He's smaller in stature. He's not going to be a guy who... Diggs and Thielen were top 10 in the NFL both in contested catches percentages, which is impressive. But what you get from Chad Beebe is an elite, efficient route runner, especially in the slot. And you think about what you can do with Chad Beebe in motion coming from behind like Dalvin Cook and maybe an eye setback with Alexander Mattison. And wow, I'd love to see even a nickelback or a cornerback trying to cover him all game. The snaps he ever got was 40% of snaps like week 12 or something like that. I mean, give Chad Beebe some serious run, and I just think Kirk Cousins is going to find him in the flat more times than not, and he's going to beat the guy around the edge.
And I think there's one guy that I'm really high on that we didn't give a chance last year to, and not just because he's a homegrown kid from Minnesota. Brandon Zylstra tore up the Canadian Football League.
And he was good last year when he had limited
action. When we had time. We need to give him a really good run this year as our slot receiver.
Or even tight end. He's got the size.
6'2", what, 220 maybe?
You can use him as a weird tight end set.
I think we need to give Brandon Zylstra a look along with Dylan Mitchell. Let those guys fight it out for our third and fourth wide receiver.
Is Laquan Treadwell... Is he really going to be on the roster when it's all said and done this year? I don't think so.
At this point, if you can get him out for a 7th-round pick...
You do in a heartbeat, right?
I don't think a team's going to do that, though. There is actually another point I wanted to talk about here with us drafting Garrett Bradbury.
We have a question really quick. Yep. All right, so since we declined... We have control of him right now. Since we own his rights, we declined his fifth-year option.
Correct.
Let's say we trade him.
Yep.
Since we decline that, does that mean it stays declined, and that means he's only available to be 1 year under contract? Because if that's true, he's more tradable because it's only 1 year. Oh, yeah.
He's very tradable at that point.
But yeah,
it's only a 1 year risk, and it's a 7th-round pick that a team gives up. Yeah. A team like, let's say, the Cardinals that might need some help.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Extra receivers for Kyler.
An aging Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Who...
Just in case.
Side note, the personal... One here, I wish Larry Fitzgerald would come finish out 1 year in Minnesota.
But yeah, I don't know why. What's that's up just that me. Guy? I guess he's a true Cardinal, but he's missing out on, Minnesota.
Former Holy Angel. Let's move on to our offensive line. We really, really addressed that this draft, and I'm really happy we did, as is all of Viking Nation, I think. If we are able, we were practicing this week with Bradberry at center and Elflein at left guard. I think that's the best way for us to go about this, because Elflein played both center and guard at Ohio State when he was there a couple years ago. And drafting Bradberry, that's a really surefire top center that we've been talking about now for our front office. Spielman has been, this is the best center I've seen in the past how many years come out of the draft. And we took him, and then we picked up the guard in free agency. Josh Klein.
Yep.
That's a really good start.
It is a great start, because you're talking about guys that have positional flexibility of front, the front three. Yeah. You got guys who can play right guard, center, left guard. You got guys like Elflein. He's been playing center since he entered the NFL for the most part. Now he's sliding too.
And Brian O'Neill, yep, drafted last year. That's another young,
yep,
second-year guy,
yep,
who's on a rookie contract through the next 5 years, four years.
And I started to see, you know, I was listening to Kirk Cousins briefly talk yesterday about the offensive line. He immediately focused and went to talk about Bradberry. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, well, last year was really tough. He's like, I'm not going to lie, it was tough last year because I played with over four different centers across 16 games. So the first off, just even getting the snap consistently and the timing to drop back is a thing that you're conscious about when your offensive line struggling to hold for 3 seconds in a pocket. So I think just maybe the consistency, if we get some durability from Bradberry. My thing is, this is my biggest goal of Bradberry. We're talking about goals. Can Bradberry play at least 15 games this year? So basically the whole season. And I think if Bradberry stays as the center for 15 games, and hopefully Elflein stays healthy, and I think we have some chances. You know, we have some serious guys, like you said, like Brian O'Neill. From all accounts, and everyone's Ben Lieber and all these estimations of how he's been playing, he was pretty impressive for a converted tight end that came from Pittsburgh last year. According to PFF, Pro Football Focus, he had an above average grade, slightly above average, but that's better than literally every one of our O linemen that got graded out last year.
I agree. Let's go to, I know we're kind of speeding this thing up, but
I think it's good.
We kind of want to hit some of this Vikings talk, and then we kind of want to end with a little bit of Timberwolves notes, because there was some big news that just broke the other day about our new head coach and new front office people and just stuff like that. So we're going to kind of talk about a few different things here. But let's go back to what I mentioned in the beginning. Possible different, maybe a trade or two or some free agents. I want to talk about one trade, and then we can maybe talk about two or three free agents that we could possibly still add that are out there that I think would be beneficial to us. Let's say we go about trading Kyle Rudolph, like we talked about, to the, let's say, Patriots for a third or fourth round pick. Could we sign with that, what is it, $8 million we open up there? Could we sign Gerald McCoy to a one-year prove-it deal to a vet minimum? Because he's still out there. The Buccaneers just picked up Ndamukong Suh, so he's not going to be back there. Can we pick up Gerald McCoy for a vet minimum? So now we only have one tight end. That's there, Rudolph. I mean, we have David Morgan. We have all those guys, but they're really not there yet. They haven't impressed me yet.
Yep.
And I understand that Irv Smith hasn't played in an NFL game, but he was really impressive in college, and I think he's going to be fine in the NFL. What if we were to go and add Gerald McCoy to a vet minimum and then bring in Minnesota's own Marquise Gray?
Ooh.
As another tight end. Yeah, well, he was a quarterback for Minnesota. He was a quarterback at Minnesota, but he was a tight end in Miami.
Had some ridiculous combine numbers, that's for sure, for a tight end quarterback combo.
I think with adding Gerald McCoy to this defensive line and then bringing in Marquise Gray, even he doesn't have to play 80% of the snaps. He can come in and play 40-50 and get him for a vet minimum also. We'd still have room with our cap space, maybe $4 to $5 million, roughly. I think that's okay going into the regular season, because if someone gets hurt, we do have backups that we can trust and we can send in there, because now our offensive line is, with the draft picks we have, we do have some flexibility with our bench guys to go throw them in there for a game or two if we absolutely need to. I think adding Gerald McCoy would be huge to our defensive line. and then bringing in, like I said, Marquise Gray on a vet minimum would be beneficial to us.
Right. I like the Gerald McCoy idea. What I think would be really useful is can we find a team that really needs tight ends and receivers? And what I mean is, can we somehow unload Laquan Treble? And if we're trying to lose Kyle Rudolph, then let's add him in. Can we try to get rid of Laquan and Kyle Rudolph in one trade?
And that's just going back to what I said before. How beneficial would Kyle Rudolph be to Kyler Murray in Arizona?
A lot.
Or to Josh Rosen in Miami.
He's a two-way guy who can block, and he can go out. And he's not the fleetest of foot. Rudolph, he's not gonna go and burn
you. He's not gonna break a tackle.
He's not gonna burn you like Jimmy Graham used to, you know, or even like Kelsey can. But Kyle Rudolph stabilizes things at that position, and you know what Kyle Rudolph's been really good at? Being on the field, and availability is everything in sports, I think. So yeah, it's a great addition, and it fits with the young quarterback who needs that line stability, you know, somewhere playing next to him.
And if we can even get a third round pick back for both of those guys, that frees up 7.5 from Kyle Rudolph, and what, maybe $1.5 million, $2 million from Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah,
that would be huge. Before we get to the free agents, because there are one or two, we just hit on Gerald McCoy and Marquise Gray, but I think there's still one or two more out there that I think would be big time upgrades for us. I want to hit on your favorite draft pick this year, and why. Who you got for me?
There's a lot of draft picks that I like. For pure value, and I was watching the NFL Network on this, they were like arguing pure value picks for each round.
You're going Drew Samaya, aren't you?
I'm going to go Drew Samaya. Yep, Drew Samaya from Oklahoma. And it's not discrediting. We're all on the record, I think. Bradbury, as long as he stays healthy, I think we all think he's going to be an above-average center. I think we can agree on that. But Drew Samaya, for being a third-round draft pick, right? No, fourth-round draft pick after Alexander Mattison, he's got a lot of upside. And you're talking about, he's in a perfect scenario for what the Vikings have. What do we have? Josh Klein, we have Elflein, we have Bradbury, O'Neal, and who's our right tackle?
Brian O'Neal is our right tackle.
And left tackle is Riley O'Ree.
Riley Reef.
So, you know, there's not a spot on the starting lineup currently for him, but I mean, what a great opportunity for him to go win and earn a job. And especially, how many times have we seen the Vikings go, you know, lose an O-lineman the first month of practice or training camp, you know, or the first 2 weeks of this, 2 or 3 weeks of the season? If let's say Josh Klein or O'Neal struggles, or Riley Reef has some issues again, I mean, I think there's a real issue with who Drew Samaya is. If you just watch what he said on his when he got was talking to Wobby on the first call, did you get a chance to watch that, Brent?
Yeah, I did.
When he just talked about being, I'm the grittiest, I'm the toughest dude, that's what we need more of. I think, sure, anyone can sell themselves really well on TV, but when I'm listening to Drew Samaya, I'm buying exactly what he's selling, and his tape resembles exactly what he's talking about. I'm just impressed when I watch Drew Samaya with the ability off the snap every time, first movement, extremely quick, long arms, that's a benefit. Lateral agility, pretty good. But he's not like he's not testing out crazy on all these metrics in the combine, but you watch him go up against the Alabama guards, against the Clemson guards, and against the defensive players, and he did more than enough. He did more than enough against Lawrence, again from Clemson. He did more than enough against, was it Williams from Alabama?
Yep.
I mean, he's an impressive guy, and I think it's going to translate really well. And don't be surprised if you see Drew Samaya as a starter and a guy who's not like a liability whatsoever.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here with my selection.
Oh.
I think the best value pick for us, which I'm not going to deny Drew Samaya. I liked him when he picked him. It's not the guard I wanted us to take, but I'm really happy with that selection.
Yep.
I really like Chris Boyd out of Texas with our 7th round pick.
The cornerback
from Texas.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He was, I was looking at some, just some stats on the day after draft day. And he was, I think he was in the top five in some rankings last season at Texas for top cornerbacks, like covering the run. I think that would be really, it's going to be really beneficial for us. I mean, he's not going to come in and start right away. But if we were to trade one of our corners in the long run for...
Bingo. I think you nailed it really quick. Because look at Pro Football Focus and then look at exactly what you said. At some point, whether it's this year offseason or next offseason, you're right. We're going to have to unload one of those cornerbacks because of just salary cap problems and stuff like that and all those things. But Trey Waynes is... I think Trey Waynes may be the odd man out. Maybe it could be Rhodes eventually, but if Waynes is, look at his Pro Football Focus thing, exactly what you're saying. He is graded out as one of the best cornerbacks at defending the run. And if you lose a guy like Waynes, you got to replace him. I understand Mackenzie Alexander isn't there, and Mike Hughes is there, and Anthony Harris, you know, safety, but there. But you lose Trey Waynes, I don't think people understand the impact. And getting a guy like Chris Boyd, that's a great value pick. I kind of almost forget about that guy. What round did they draft him in?
7th round.
Wow.
Yep. I really think he has a chance to come in. He's not going to be a starter, like I said, right away. He's going to be a special teams guy, work his way up. But I think that with his 40 time at 4.4, and being... He was at Texas last year with Holton Hill. And I think those two together... he's really been compared to Holton Hill, and Holton Hill had a really good year for us.
Great point.
And he was an undrafted free agent for us.
You know, we kind of did the same thing when we got Danielle Hunter from LSU, and then we were like, hey, next year let's get to Tayshaun Bower from LSU. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, his strengths, I was just looking at stuff after we drafted him, and I think he's 6 foot, 6'1". Mm-hmm. That's good size for a corner. Big and strong.
He's fast.
With a 4.4 40.
Which is ridiculous. That's pretty impressive.
I think he has a long way to go in his coverage. But if he can come in and be a zone corner to start out with his ball skills, not the best athleticism guy, but he's gonna come up in the run and he's gonna hit you in the mouth. And he can make a play on the ball when it's in the air, because he's got that closing 4.4 speed. But just reading up on him, if he can shore up his footwork, his back pedal, his press coverage, to be a man-to-man corner, I think it's a really good value pick down the road.
And if a corner press don't work out, boom, put him at safety. Because from everything I read, the guy can be a ball hawk, and he's good at picking it off in terms of seeing the quarterback's eyes.
Speaking of ball hawks... There is one free agent out there. Speaking of vet minimums, what if we were to go sign Eric Berry to a vet minimum and pair him up with Harrison Smith? I mean, Eric Berry is still sitting out there waiting to be signed.
Yeah, I'll just, I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to dismiss this because, and I love the idea, but I can tell you, they love Anthony Harris and they really, really believe him, in him. Like, I just don't think...
You did mention him off air, talking about his Pro Football Focus. He was a top 15 safety last year.
Yeah, ridiculous. Top 10.
But I just really, really like Eric Berry.
I do too.
Everything about him.
I do too.
His story. His
culture is great to add to any locker room.
Not even his story. I mean, he has a great story if you guys haven't heard about it.
But his personality is...
Beating cancer and all that kind of stuff. But just his football IQ and his athleticism and his toughness and his... He's going to come hit you in the mouth on a run. Or he's got ball skills.
Whether it matters or not, I remember seeing his Wanderlust test, and I know most times they give that to the quarterback, but a lot of times the other players take it too, and he scored like the highest. I remember they were talking about like one of the highest when he came out of where did he? Do you know where Eric Berry came from? I don't know where he came from.
I do not know.
I remember he scoring like one of the highest of all the defensive players. So you're right. I mean, he's a smart dude, and I think he has a way of life, and that connects always in the. If you can sign up for cheap, you know, like why not? I know that Mike Zimmer has such a good connection with so many cornerbacks and respect throughout the league. Like that's a great point. Why won't Eric Berry? Why won't he come play under Mike Zimmer, under a team that, one, you don't have to play outdoors because what does Eric Berry also struggle with? Injuries. And Kauffman Stadium is a tough. place, or sorry, Arrowhead is a tough place to play. So playing indoors in a beautiful facility for a great team and a great D-back head coach, that makes a lot of sense on a cheap contract. Why not?
So speaking of more, I've got two more free agents I want to talk about here, and then we can move into a possible trade that I wanted us to make, and you really weren't that high in it when we talked about it today. And then we can maybe touch on some Viking or some Timberwolves stuff, and maybe we can wrap this one up. But there are two more free agents out there that if we don't sign Gerald McCoy, I would really like us to go at Corey Lugent, the former San Diego Charger, now Los Angeles Chargers D-tackle.
Huh.
I think that he only played, I think he missed, if I remember this right, he missed the first four games last year for PEDs. But when he was on the field, he was a three-down D-tackle. And I think that he was a, from his pro football focus stuff, he's a top 15 three-down tackle. I think he could be really good for us. Not as, obviously, as good as Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy is a top, probably a top five defensive tackle in this league. But I think that Corey Lugent could up our play on defense and not even play a majority of the downs if he's injured, all that, or if misses games. But I think in rotation, just to keep Shamar Stephen and all those guys not gassed and keep him fresh, I think he'd be a really good pickup for us, especially at a vet minimum.
Yeah, no, I agree. What was your other one, though?
This one, I think, could come in and be a slot corner for us and just play the slot or even come in on nickel packages. He is probably for sure in the back stages of his career. Maybe he's got 1 or 2 years left, kind of like a Captain Munderland when he was here. I think Orlando Scandrick would be a good pickup for us.
Great veteran.
A good vet to come in and help our young corners.
Yeah.
Because he gets defensive schemes. He gets the toughness mentality. He gets just being what a veteran is.
Played safety for about over 20 games in his career, too.
He was with the Chiefs last year. I think he was with the Cowboys before that. I just think that he could come in and even be a fourth or fifth corner for us.
Yep.
And aside from the playing part, just coming in being a veteran for us would be really good.
Yeah. I mean, Terrence Newman, last year, just being part of our coaching and team last year, I think that made huge dividends. And you saw early before Mike Hughes got hurt how well Mike Hughes was doing.
And that's even the thing, too. We got Chris Boyd, we got Holton Hill, we got all these guys coming in. And Holton Hill was here last year. But he was here last year until he tore his ACL.
Yeah. I mean,
Mike Hughes could come in and be, he played, what, 3 or 4 games for us last year?
Yeah, and Brent, we met each other, like, this winter, right? So, you know, I didn't get a chance to really go over what I think about Mike Hughes with you, but this is one of my favorite players probably on the Vikings currently. And honestly, if that ACL doesn't happen, I honestly think he's a top 10 cornerback hands down in the NFL, like, in the very, very near future.
That's a very bold statement.
It is a bold statement, but I feel very confident. What Mike Hughes' value brings, I don't think a lot of people understand. First off, he's the best man-to-man cornerback on our team. Mike Zimmer said that about week 10 when asked about what's going on with our defense, who's performing and who's not. And Mike Zimmer responded very directly. Rhodes is struggling right now. Mackenzie Alexander has some things to work on. And then he talked about Mike Hughes. Like, what Mike Hughes did in his limited time last year was extremely impressive. You can play him at the nickel. You can play him as a safety. And you can play him press. You can play him off. You can do a lot of things with Mike Hughes. I feel very confident. Like, this is more confident than a take on, like, a Mitch Garver or a Luis Arias. But, by the way, we literally talked last week how good Luis Arias has been doing in the minors and when he's going to get his chance, and 2 days later he randomly got a call-up, which was random, by the way. But,
and he's hitting, what, 580 for us right now?
I'm just saying, yeah, this has been really good.
Side note, don't get off track.
Yeah, so back to this, though. Mike Hughes, I think he's going to be a really, really good corner. And go watch his high school and college highlights on his returning. He might be the best returner in Minnesota Vikings history. And when it's all said and done, he's got some serious punt return skills.
There is a trade that I really wanted us to make during the draft. And I told you about this before the draft because of all the rumors that were flying around with Kyler Murray. I wanted us to trade a third-round pick for Josh Rosen. And if we would have done that, that means we don't get Drew Samia. Because we got him in the third round, correct?
No, I always got the mix up. Madison got drafted third round, then Samia in the fourth.
Okay, so we still could have got Samia. But I really wanted us to trade a third-round pick for Josh Rosen. Let Josh Rosen sit under Kirk Cousins for 2 years. Because Kirk's here for two more years on that $93, $96 million contract. Let him sit, learn from Kirk, and then in 2 years, let's roll with Josh Rosen.
I freaked out earlier.
You chewed my head off about this take.
I totally heard it. I totally heard it wrong. I first thought his idea was Kirk Cousins for Josh Rosen, and like a pick. I was super confused, and I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. You're crazy. But yeah, the idea is the third round pick for essentially Josh Rosen, and yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Can you find a better backup quarterback in the league?
Kyle Sloter, baby. Kyle Sloter.
I love him. But I actually like him a lot. His preseason last year was off the charts. He was phenomenal. He was darn near perfect with his QBR every single time he showed up. But that being said, Josh Rosen actually is probably the better option. Does he come off a little bit arrogant a lot of the time, to be honest?
He did at UCLA, but you hear all that stuff about him being in Arizona, and he wasn't arrogant. He wasn't... Because he wasn't the best guy in the room anymore. He was the best guy in high school. He was the best guy at UCLA. Now he comes into a room with Patrick Peterson. He comes into a team with Larry Fitzgerald. He comes into a team with all these guys that he can't be that kind of player.
You know, and the problem with Josh... I'm going to talk about like how Josh Rosen's life in the NFL is completely unfortunate for him. Like, all right, think about this. Josh Rosen gets selected 10th in the first round. Behind two quarterbacks that I think, or maybe it was even three, that he believes he was better at in last year. Baker Mayfield and who?
And it's good to have that mindset of, I'm better than you are.
Yep.
I think that's fine to have. It's nothing against.
No.
Nothing. If I'm going to that situation, I'm saying I'm better than Brandon. That's not something to be mad at. I think that's something that you should, as a player, that's the mindset you need to have.
And... What do you want to talk about, though, in regards to him?
In terms of Josh Rosen?
Yeah, so I guess when we're talking about Josh Rosen, I just think he's got a really unfortunate NFL experience so far. Like, he gets drafted 10th.
Doesn't start right away.
Yeah, and goes to a team that has... If you watch the Cardinals, which I'm glad I'm not a Cardinals fan because it was a tough year, they had... it was atrocity in terms of their O-line. It was terrible. Like,
yeah, you think the Vikings was bad.
Theirs was way worse. And then you look at who he got traded to. You're just hoping Josh Rosen gets on a team that can protect him.
And then Johnson got hurt 2 years ago, and he comes back last year and wasn't the same. Larry Fitzgerald is aging. What other wideouts does he have? The defense isn't the same. Patrick Peterson is now suspended for the first, four games?
Yep. And he gets traded to the Dolphins. And it's like, okay, before the trade, it's like, please, if he gets traded, go to a team that's a good O-line to protect him so he doesn't lose his confidence right away. And he gets traded to probably the second worst team in the NFL with O-line problems, which is very unfortunate. Like, Adam Gase, in my opinion, is a brilliant O-mind.
Well, Gase is not
anymore, right? But I'm saying, like, what he did, even with Ryan Tannehill trying to get him back up after the ACL tear a couple years ago, was impressive. What he did in Chicago, Adam Gase, was impressive. And now Adam Gase is gone, who I thought was a great offensive mind, and I know they have... The Colts ex-coach now. But I just think Josh Rosen, again, is going to get hit with a clap of bad luck. And it's unfortunate because Josh Rosen could be a good quarterback.
Speaking of Adam Gase, did you see his comments when he got hired in New York as the interim GM?
No.
He came out on record and said, I did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell to the public and said we could be looking to trade him.
That's really hard to read, but looking at why are you going to spend that much money on a running back when you haven't even developed your quarterback yet? Like, if your quarterback is already ready, but he's on a fair contract, sure. But I get that your quarterback's on a cheap contract, but you need to surround now him with a lot of talent that probably takes money, and you're dedicating about 1/5 of the total payroll to Le'Veon Bell. 1/6. That's a dangerous thing, and they need to upgrade their O-linemen, and they need to upgrade their defense again. The trenches need to be, filled.
We're getting a little too far off of our Minnesota pod here. Sorry. We're turning this into the New York and Arizona and Miami pod.
Sorry.
But let's get back on track. Let's go for another 10 or 15 minutes here about the Timberwolves. There are some things here that I kind of want to discuss. I know we're jumping all over the map here with a lot of stuff, but we just wanted to get this pod out because we really haven't touched anything on the Vikings yet. And I think that there's just some stuff that we talked about that with OTAs here and rookie minicamp now gone, and the next one up is the mandatory minicamp for everyone to attend. I think that what we've seen so far has been really encouraging coming from last year and coming off of the NFC Championship game and getting shut out or whatever, getting dominated by the Eagles 2 years ago, and now last year with a very disappointing season. I think that this year has really high hopes for the Vikings. And I think just kind of briefly touching on just some stuff before the season gets full go and full swing with mini camps. I think that just being able to talk about what's going on was good. And I think that just some recaps here. I think we need to give Rudy that 5-year extension. We offered it to him. I hope he accepts it. And I think that moving Elflein to left guard and Bradbury going to center is going to be really beneficial for us, which is why we drafted Garrett Bradbury and not a left tackle. And I think that don't sleep on Dylan Mitchell, everybody. This kid's going to come in and be impressive. He was one of the best college receivers last year. He's got blazing speed. He's got really good hands. And I think he can be a really good third option. And then the combination, if we don't trade Rudy, which I really hope we don't, the combination of, like we mentioned before, Rudy with Herb Smith, with Adam Thielen, with Diggs, and then with Dylan Mitchell, a really good core of guys, and then you go with Dalvin Cook and you go with Alexander Mattison, this offense could have a chance to be really special. And again, it all hinges on Kirk Cousins. Can he win the big games? And I think that's coming this year. But let's kind of switch gears here. The Timberwolves have finally removed the interim tag from Ryan Saunders.
Yes!
Finally gone. Finally our full-time guy. Who do we need to add to our staff to help him be successful?
I don't know. What are you thinking?
Well, just go on before we get to a staff. Gerson has already added 3 front office guys that are formerly from Houston. And so just going that direction, I think our next signing is, or our next hire, I should say, is going to be his coach that was in Houston with him, and the guy that was formerly with the Pelicans. He is, I think if we were to give him the associate head coach tag, it would be something that he would want to come over for. I don't think he's going to leave New Orleans for just anything. But we need to add a defensive-minded guy, and I think him coming from Smith coming over from Houston and coming from the Pelicans, he's going to be more offensive-minded with Ryan Saunders. And we need to find, like we've been hearing about, Ryan Saunders is going to add a defensive coordinator type, like an NFL, you are strictly here for defense. And I really don't know what kind of coach is out there. Frank Vogel was out there, and now he's not. He's the LA Lakers head coach, which would have been a great defensive guy to add. Jamie Bickerstaff would be great to add. But is he signed somewhere else now? Did he get hired?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I think JB would be a great addition to have, former Minnesota Golden Gopher. I think that he would be a big-time addition to our staff because JB is very, very, very highly regarded in this league. And he would be great just to have on our bench. And I think that we need to add somebody that can come in and fix our defensive problems. And I haven't gone too in-depth of coaches in the NBA to where I can point out and say, hey, Coach A would be great to come in. He'd be great to have. But we have already fired, I think it was 5 guys from our staff last year. And we've only got 3 on staff right now. Or I should say that haven't been let go. So they're still on staff. We need to add more. And I think it needs to be proven guys in the NBA that aren't just Saunders guys, that aren't just Gearson's guys, that aren't just whoever they are. They need to be proven guys that can come in and not undermine Ryan Saunders, come in and work with Ryan Saunders, come in and do what he wants to do, but then have the mindset to say, hey, this is my role. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here to be the defensive guru. We need to do this. We need to do that. Let your voice be heard. One thing I've always been told as a coach, as an assistant, speak your mind. You're going to get shot down 90% of the time, but continue to bring me ideas. Continue to bring this and that. So continue to bring Saunders ideas, because he's going to turn them down, yes, but you're going to come with that great idea that might win you a ball game, that might do this or do that, be beneficial. So continue to bring in ideas, because eventually they're going to work, and eventually Ryan's going to, he's going to trust you from day one, no doubt about that, because he's bringing you in. It's going to be your, he's choosing, him and Gerson together are choosing these guys to bring in. So they trust you if they're going to bring you into this organization and this culture.
Yep.
So we need to go out and find guys. I think we need to get them before the draft, because the, coming up with the draft here, if there's a defensive player in this draft, I think a coach is going to want to say, hey, go get me this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say with Ryan Saunders, you don't, I think you need to find, like you said, Gerstani needs to go out there, make an evaluation of who's a guy that, you know, is going to change our defense, and specifically fix our 3-point defense, figure out how to stop straight flybys, I guess, if you will, to the rim and free points. So it'd be interesting to see how Gerson goes about the process, but then how will Ryan Saunders mesh with that defensive coordinator? I'm not really worried. I feel like Gerson and Ryan are really, I feel like that the connection's been made. I really don't feel like this is a thing that Glenn Taylor has kind of forced upon Gerson. I think that when Gerson came into this, well, first, do you believe that Gerson's only job opportunity is the title he has now? Do you think that was his only opportunity for any other teams in the NBA? Do you think anyone else would take Gerson?
So you're asking, would Gerson got a different job if the Timberwolves didn't hire him?
Yep, I think so.
I think he would have got the Wizards job. I think he could have got the Pelicans job. I think he could have got whatever job he really wanted, because he's a really well-respected guy in this league.
So my point now is back to Ryan Saunders. I really don't believe Glenn Taylor. I almost feel like I can support it, that Glenn Taylor did not force or kind of make Rosas think, well, you got to kind of keep Ryan on, right?
Right.
I just don't believe. I think Ryan and Rosas legit have a real connection. And
well, they've known each other for about 10 years from what I heard about Gerson on his interview.
Yes, and I think that actually is not flutter or BS, if you will. That's real. And Ryan Saunders, I think when they make the decision, it'll be interesting to see how well Ryan Saunders, or what the affiliation to Saunders has ever been, if any. And that, kind of going off of that, I would just wonder the background of who we're looking at. Are we just looking at, you know, NBA coaches? Are we thinking about any dominant collegiate coaches? I don't think anyone's really talked about that.
I do think if Gerson is going to bring in one of his guys, it needs to be Chris Finch from, like we just mentioned, New Orleans. He was with them in Houston, like we said. So if we're going to bring in one of his guys, I think it needs to be Chris Finch, because he is going to be one of the more proven guys in the league. But we still need to go out, because I just previously mentioned, I think Chris Finch is an offensive-minded head coach, or assistant coach.
He's with New Orleans right now?
He is with New Orleans, yes.
I just wonder, would he want to leave now because Zion? But, you know, I just wonder, because Zion just such a, it changes the whole organization with that first pick. And then I wonder if Anthony Davis stays. It's kind of interesting. Like, if I'm looking to be in a future head coach, if I'm Chris Finch, you know, and build that resume, am I taking a chance on Andrew Wiggins possibly in the future? I need to know if Andrew Wiggins, if I'm Chris Finch, like, what's the plan with Andrew Wiggins? Because this affects my future. You know, if I'm looking to be a sometime
head coach. Now, if you're Chris Finch, you're like, well, you know what? I just don't want to probably ever be a head coach. I feel comfortable being the assistant coach. Then, yeah. Why not come to Minnesota and work with Gerson and work with Ryan? And I feel like Ryan's really approachable. So that'd be a fun job for him. But it just, I guess it depends on what Chris Finch is looking for in the future.
And there's one name that we could still add to our front office. I hope I pronounced this right. Sachin Gupta. G-U-P-T-A. I heard this Paul Allen talking about this the other day. He is with the Pistons right now as the assistant GM. And he is... Have you ever used the NBA trade machine in ESPN?
I have not.
You haven't used that?
No, I just watched you use it a couple of times.
That's a really good ticket to use if you kind of want to play a fake GM and make trades. I do it quite a bit. I think, from what I've read, he is one of the well-respected guys in this league. If we can bring him in, he was in Houston with Gerson, and then he went to Philly, and he was the guy behind the whole trust the process, and he brought in all those guys in Philly, and now look where Philly's at. So if we can bring in that another mind to our front office to go along with Gerson, to go along with everybody we have there now, I think that it would be really, really beneficial to add Sachin to come in and say, he is going to be a sleeper in the draft. Let's go get player A. Or he's going to be at 11. He is going to be maybe in a year or two, like maybe a Nazir Little, who he's going to have, he has potential, but it's not going to benefit us right now in the immediate future. But at 11, do we need to go with someone that helps us right now? Or can we maybe get Nazir Little and he can benefit us in 2020 and not necessarily 2019?
Do you want me to talk about, what do I think we should, who should we draft, or do I think...
Who would you take at 11? If you're Gerson and you're Saunders, who are you going after at number 11?
Okay, so let's play a scenario out. If you're telling me that the Timberwolves cannot find a trade prior to the draft or right on the draft time day, then you need, so like I'm playing the scenario out, then you need to start thinking of, okay, what guy do I draft that if I do trade him, does some other team really covet him?
Before you answer this, I text you, might have been a day or two ago, and we were talking about kind of about this stuff. I don't know if you guys out there have heard this, but the Timberwolves have given a draft promise, reportedly, to Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga. And during the college basketball season, when Rui was doing his thing in Gonzaga, he was compared to, okay, now don't get me wrong with this, don't assume I'm comparing him to this player, but he was kind of matched to his size and his ability to bring the ball up the floor as a big man to LeBron James. Okay, don't get me wrong. He's not going to score it like LeBron. He's not going to be playing the post like LeBron. He's not going to pass like LeBron. But just his ability to bring the ball up the floor and be able to dribble and be able to handle pressure and be able to, as a big man, not turn the ball over and be able to handle getting a rebound and just pushing.
Yeah.
I think Rui would be really good for us.
You look at, what is Rui's height? What is height?
I think he's like 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, right? So, you know, a guy, it's a great comparison. I don't know about LeBron. That's because his body will never be LeBron. But, and his shoulders just can't be LeBron. But the comparison I like is, I mean, this is a great scenario if it did happen. Pascal Siakam. A guy who can actually bring the ball up the court and can do some things in the lane, and like you're saying, and then has a good frame enough to kind of shrug off defenders, especially the guys that are maybe playing a little bigger than 6'8", or it's a little more than 240 pounds. So, if we got Rui, that's how you pronounce it, Rui.
I think it's Rui Hachimura.
I'd be ecstatic, because anybody who can handle the ball, an extra ball handler, even, yes, we need guards, but if all the guards are out, and Kobe White's out, and Garland's out, and obviously Morant's going to be out, and all these guys are out,
I mean, I'm looking at, I don't know where Cam Reddish is going. I think Cam Reddish is really interesting.
I think Cam is a top six guy.
He's really interesting. I don't see Duke losing three guys in the top six. That's my prediction. They're gonna have, it's gonna be Barrett, it's gonna be Zion, and then I think there's gonna be a gap. I think there's gonna be some mistakes from like that 7 and 9 from all these mock drafts. Some of the guys from 7 and 9 are like, I don't know, but if Hachimura drops, I'm taking him.
So let me throw this scenario at you. We're at number 10, okay? Number 10 overall just picks. Timberwolves come on the clock. They're sitting Rui, and they're sitting Kobe White. Who are you going after?
Kobe White. There's not even a question.
You're going Kobe?
Won't even stutter. No.
I might sit and think about it just because of the upside that Rui has. And I know you're sitting here thinking, we've taken upside before. We've taken Johnny Flynn. We've taken all these guys before Steph Curry. In the end, I think I would go with Kobe. Just because, first and foremost, I'm a UNC guy. Loud and proud. Go UNC. Tar Heels. Okay? But I think Kobe White can be really special in this league, too, with his upside. The ability for him to shoot the ball.
2-6-30.
And the ability to just do everything that he can handle the ball. He can blow by a guy. He can finish at the rim. He can do all these things. So I just kind of want to throw that out there to see what your thoughts were, because I also would go Kobe. But if he's gone, I am very happy and I'm very settled and content with taking Rui Hachimura.
My last point is that it's 6:32. And we have to go to... is that really quick. This isn't even a question. Where's the league going to? Guards, smaller lineups. Where are they shooting from? Threes. Where are you asking the guys to guard the most? Like the most important spot to guard, beyond like the middle of the paint, probably, the 3-point line, the line. So Kobe White, a guy who can handle the ball, shoot the three, defend the three. There's no way you can pass up a guy because you can trade him for more value than Rui.
So we're going to kind of wrap this one up here. We got more Timberwolves stuff to talk about, but we're getting the shoe here out of. We got to wrap it up. There's more stuff going on. We're getting kicked out of here. So we're going to wrap this up with a kind of a shorter, it's still 50-minute pod. We're going to wrap this one up. But we're going to try over the weekend here to get another Timberwolves podcast out.
You know, and we might try to do 2 or 3 pods a week.
Can try and do maybe a 30-minute one this weekend just to kind of wrap up this Timberwolves thought.
Make it 50.
I kind of want to talk about if we can trade up or if we can trade down in the draft. Or what we can do to build around Cat to keep him happy and keep him here for more than the next 2 years. Because I don't want Cat to turn into Anthony Davis and see what's going on here. And all of a sudden in 2 years say, I want out. So we're going to wrap this one up here with 50 minutes. It was a really good pod. I think we mentioned a lot of the Viking stuff. Mentioned a little bit on the Timberwolves. Didn't even touch the Twins. And we're up right now. Is it 16-2 still?
I don't know if we even got 8 homers yet, which is the franchise.
Man, we can talk about the Twins for days. But I do want to talk more about the Timberwolves. So again, thank you for listening to the MSI pod. Please, if you have anything you want us to talk about, hit us up on our Twitter or send us an email. We sent that out before. Our email is MinnesotaSportsInsider@gmail.com or our Twitter, Inside Minnesota Sports.
We need hot takes.
We want you guys, your opinions. We want to talk about what you guys want to hear. But we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you for listening to the Minnesota Sports Insider.